We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Can turn these two picks into two picks and more. Let's say they don't trade the two picks for an NBA vet or a ready-made rotation guy, etc. Can you turn number seven, JD, into the number 10 pick and a pick next year, or number 10 and number 22, or, you know, can you combine picks? Can you make enough moves to where these two picks become more than just two new players?
I think that's something that the Warriors are going to have to strongly look at in addition to everything else. To me, the one scenario where that's the most likely to be in play would be if Jonathan Kuminga is on the board at number seven. That's the guy that I feel like other teams would want to move up into the Warriors slot. He doesn't fit the Warriors timeline. He fits other teams' timeline. Can you get, and I'd be more willing to try and get a player coming back that can be plugged right into your rotation, a young vet, as opposed to even a future pick. But I think that's the slot, Dibs. That's where it would have to be. It would have to be Kuminga with a top maybe four or five talent, just needs a little bit more time to develop, that another team would salivate at the proposition of trying to come up and grab.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Station. This segment brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Happy NBA Draft Day. It's Dibs, JD, and Whitey today on Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, getting you ready for the NBA Draft. What are the Warriors going to do? We're all over the draft all day long here on 95.7 The Game. Damon Radokolsky will be at Chase Center. Dibs, the interesting thing about the names you just mentioned there, and I know we've touched on this, but you mentioned Davion Mitchell, you mentioned Wagner, and you mentioned Kispert. And all those guys, if you're looking at it from the Warriors' standpoint, as in, well, we need guys who we know can help us next year, all those guys appear to have definable skills. Kispert, to your point of, and to what Seth Greenberg said, he looks like the best shooter in the draft. Davion Mitchell, we know he's a solid defender. And interestingly, and you know, all kidding aside, we've been kidding about Wagner, but it looks like his stock is rising, and teams see him as a really solid defender who's a smart player, takes care of the ball, and is more athletic than you might think. So the Warriors do have a chance to get a young player that they can plug right in, maybe less upside. And I don't know about you guys, I'm out on Kuminga after what Wes Goldberg told us. Two reasons. One, his stock is down. Teams don't seem to be as high on him as they were. And the way he plays, he's kind of a ball stopper, and his shot is still a work in progress. And that just doesn't fit with the way the Warriors play ball.
Yeah, and I think you already have enough players, JD, for me, whose shot is a, quote, work in progress. And Draymond Green's shot is just that. It's shot. Ugh. Kevon Looney's shot is most often a no thank you. James Wiseman at times has shown an ability to shoot from distance, but you don't yet have total faith in his shot. And Eric Paschal and the robo shot, I don't know if you necessarily want him jacking it up 15 times a game. So
get
for me,
the robot. Sign yeah, the robot.
Shooting prospects are a pass for me right now.
Yeah, you can have one project period on the roster, and that slot is already filled by James Wiseman. So regardless of what you're going to do at 7-14, trade or no trade, to me, Wiseman has the project role as far as going to need time to develop, going to need probably
long,
a second play.
How long do you think you can tolerate having him as a project and still get everything done you need to get done?
I think you could tolerate it in the right circumstances for the rest of this season, for this upcoming season.
Yeah.
I think you can if you hit on 7-14 at other positions. If you bring in another big to bridge Looney and Wiseman's minutes, somebody else that Steve Kerr can really trust, in addition to potentially going small, I think you could buy the whole year. But by the end of this upcoming season, by next May, let's just say, you're going to have to know what you think Wiseman can be at that point. If we're having the same kinds of conversations and questions about, well, he was just injured enough to where we don't know, or he had to, you know, the stops and starts, that stuff can't happen for a second consecutive year. Otherwise, a year from now, I might be closer to out on him than I am currently.
Now, a few moments ago, Dibs, you asked the question, hey, Warrior fans, wouldn't you be happy if you ended up today with another Harrison Barnes and Troy Murphy? That was your question. Antonio in Oakland wants to answer you now on 95.7 The Game. Antonio, you're on with Dibs, JD, and Whitey. How you doing?
Pretty good. Would I want Harrison Barnes? Well, you know, a lot's being made of that. When the Rockets missed, 27 straight threes in that Game 7 against the Warriors? Well, in game 7, 2016, it felt like Harrison Barnes missed 27 straight threes. You know, like, do I want a guy who misses open shots in big games? Nah, I think I'll pass on that. Troy Murphy, I'll pass. I mean, I want Book Knight at 7, and I wouldn't mind trading down from 14 to 20, because the Hawks, they want to trade Cam Reddish. And if we can do that and get him on this team, man, a good young 3-and-D guy, 6'8", you know, I'm saying, long, lanky. He actually did good against Chris Middleton guarding him in that playoff series. So that's what I would do. But we'll see what they do.
Yes, we will. Thank you, Antonio.
Oh, hey,
Cam
Dan,
Reddish.
Didn't...
Yeah, yeah. Cam Reddish in the 20th pick? Yeah, and you got, of course, the connections, right, Dibs? As Steiny knows better than anybody, those Warrior-Hawk front office connections.
Yeah, but I don't think the Hawks are quite ready to give up on Cam Reddish, a player who was hurt the majority of the year and I think has a tremendous amount of upside in his own right. So even though there's a connection there, I'm not sure if those two teams would be necessarily suitors or co-conspirators in a possible trade. I think that you look at Memphis maybe wanting to come up to 7 as a spot where, you know, if they're a team that is still looking to rebuild and they've got eyes for Kuminga, they might be the team most interested in coming up to make sure they get that player.
Mm-hmm. Is there a piece, Whitey, of the Memphis roster that you'd want if they are looking to come up to 7? Like, who would you want off of that team?
Where is Ja?
well, yeah.
And I apologize because I don't know about the financials and how they fit. I mean, I think there's a guy that kind of fell out of favor there, a little Brandon Clark. I mean, I kind of like him. I think he could bring some size. I think he could help you a little bit. I don't really want Grayson Allen, but I just can't stand Grayson Allen, and I need to look at that a little more objectively. But off the top of my head, with Dibs, you're shaking your head. You're with me on, no, we don't want any part of Grayson Allen.
No, I mean, why wouldn't you like Grayson Allen? A guy who's a little bit feisty, plays maybe on the edge of the margins. He actually played a lot better in the second half of the year this year. He started to look more and more like a real NBA player.
I know he did, and he made some big shots against the Warriors, didn't he? I just don't like him.
Send
That's
him
what
home.
I said. I know. 888-957-9570. Joe in San Jose, 95.7 The Game. Joe, what do you got for us?
Hey, what about the Euros?
Hello? Are you okay, Joe?
Yeah, what about the Euros, he's saying? He wants you to break down.
I know, I heard
down
what he said. It sounded like somebody was tackling him and stealing his phone as he spoke to us. I'm
or he was, he might have been ordering a Euro, JD. Hey, what about the Euros? Oh, I'm sorry,
yeah,
guys.
I was ordering pretty good, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Very good.
What happens when your unit is defective?
He was wondering about the Warriors cap situation if it was converted to Euros. Was, I think, his question.
Ah, gotcha.
It's a good question. We'll have that coming up. Who is the guy? There is one player, and I'll be honest, and not to put you guys on the spot, there is a European player whose name is mentioned, you know, in the top 14, and I really don't know much about him, and I can't even figure out how to say his name. And that's on me. You know who I'm talking about? There's a very unusual name that's listed in the top 15. Yeah? No? Anybody?
Is it Sengun?
Alperen Sengun, yeah.
There you go. Tell me about him. Anything you got on him. That I think would answer Joe's question.
Well, he's had quite a career at Besiktas International in Turkey, Whitey, and having, you know, had him on my Turkish basketball fantasy team, I can tell you that he can flat out score the basketball from a number of different positions, both, you know, shooting and also occasionally scoring. And, you know, he's a shooter who can score, JD, and I like my shooters who can score, my scorers who
can
shoot.
Let's get that guy.
He can score from the floor and also the foul line. When fouled, he can step to the line and he can knock him down. 6'10". He's known for his physical play around the basket. He'll turn 19 days after. Well, no, he won't turn 19 days old. He'll turn 19, days after the draft, So there are some seasoning that needed to be required. What's your favorite Turkish seasoning, JD?
Yeah, I got nothing for you on
paprika. I finally stumped the JD.
All right,
Turkish spices go.
He'll be a lottery pick then, Joe. And then other than that, I mean, not to just, you know, keep hammering away at this, some consider Wagner a Euro, although, you know, he's from Germany, but he played at Michigan. So his draft stock appears to be rising, and not a Euro, but Josh Giddey. Good eyes, Josh Giddey. Not a European player, of course, but an Aussie player. And some people think maybe that's why Memphis moved up to 10 in their deal with the Pelicans, is because they want 18-year-old Josh Giddey. 6'8", from Down Under. And it doesn't shoot the ball especially well, but he's got great court vision.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to get more.
Some of our international prospects we're looking at here with draft day finally here. Yeah.
I mean, we could have let the music go. Anyway, we could have had him pad that a little bit, Spadoni. I thought a little bit of an itchy trigger finger there from Spadoni. No, it's too late.
That's where we were going.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're going hardcore draft preview, but we can have a little fun along the way. You don't have to give me three notes.
His combi fright out there right in the middle of that song.
Totally.
Is Bob Myers' job on the line if he takes Sengun?
There we go.
888-957.
Yeah. All right.
Good, Kyle. Or White.
Back to
888-957-9570. Yeah. What would you be celebrating? What move or moves tonight would you be celebrating on this draft day at 888-957-9570? I think we made our predictions already, didn't we? I think there's a very good chance the Warriors go. I'd love to see him get Franz Wagner. I don't know. I know that supposedly his draft stock is rising. I think if they end up with something along the lines of Davion Mitchell and Corey Kispert, I think you've got some pieces that are definitely going to help, and you got some things you can work with today.
95.7 The Game Breaking News. Brought to you by BetQL. Become a better sports bettor. Get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
According to Ken Rosenthal, the San Diego Padres are close to acquiring Max Scherzer. That's according to sources. So one of the Giants' potential trade targets as we approach the MLB trade deadline tomorrow looks to be heading to a division rival to the San Diego Padres, who desperately need pitching help. What do you think, Dibs?
They desperately need pitching help, and that would be the best pitching help you could get. And it's funny because I was looking at the Max Scherzer post-game one comments after his start in Washington, and he was basically saying goodbye, JD, without saying goodbye, talking about, oh, you know, I had no kids when I came here. Now I've got three kids. It's been so great here and all that. It really felt like he knew what was coming. And I wonder what San Diego is going to send back for the shiniest bauble in the free agent or in the baseball trading deadline pitcher market.
Yeah, and it sounds like Whitey, he wanted to come to the West Coast. So the Padres, they need him. And that changes the dynamic, too, I think, for a wild card game now. You really want to avoid a wild card game if you're the Giants, where you're going to face Scherzer in that one-off. He would be the guy that would be penciled in for it.
Yeah, obviously, in a way, a double dose of bad news for the Giants. Max Scherzer, not a done deal yet, according to sources, but on his way to San Diego. We'll react to that. Also coming up, JD does his victory dance in the lock of the day. And once again, what we know, what we think we know, and what we don't know about the Dubs, the draft, and deals. It's all coming up next on this draft day edition of Steiny, Guru, and Dibs with Dibs, JD, and Whitey today, 95.7 The Game.
It's draft day, baby.
3, 2, 1.
Yes. Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring
Creepmeister Maximus Whitey Gleason
and John,
that's a problem,
Dickinson on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, Bonanza is popping today. We've got the NBA draft, of course, tonight. And how about this breaking news? Bonanza, by the way, is brought to you by Pacific Catch, sustainable seafood, West Coast style. The news out of San Diego, Ken Rosenthal, Dan Dibley's personal friend, breaking. This is interesting to me because it's breaking, but it's not done yet. Breaking, Padres close to acquiring Max Scherzer, sources tell The Athletic. So I guess that's one way of being first. It hasn't happened yet, but it's gonna. We'll wait and see. But bad news for the Giants. They don't get Max Scherzer, and a division rival apparently is going to. Padres close to acquiring Max Scherzer.
It's big. Big if true, as we like to say in the business. And it feels like, well, Scherzer clearly wanted to be dealt to the West Coast, and you've got three teams out here very much in the thick of the NL West. And by the way, the Angels and the A's as well, fancying themselves as playoff teams. So any one of five suitors on the West Coast could have been in play for Max Scherzer, but it always felt like San Diego was the most desperate for pitching. And so pending the finalization of this trade and what they have to send back, fascinating to think about.
Yeah, the Giants, I think you could make a case why he were the best fit. I think if you really asked Scherzer where he wanted to go, he probably would have said the Dodgers. But then the Padres were the team most willing to make a deal because they felt, to Dib's point, that they absolutely had to. And we talked about it earlier, Whitey, just the fact that the Padres find themselves where they're firmly entrenched into that second wild card spot, but for the first time really in a while, they could kind of look down below them, and the Reds are just kind of lingering about five back. Like they needed to make sure that they firmly hold on to that two spot and also gear up for the prospect of playing in the wild card game. And I think having Scherzer in the mix to pitch in that one-off, whether it's against the Giants or the Dodgers, there was an added incentive to get him because he'd be able to throw on that night.
The Padres felt going into this season, they felt very good about their starting pitching. And then this guy got hurt and that guy got hurt. And today they don't feel very good about their starting pitching at all. Blake Snell yesterday, one of their big offseason acquisitions, he was, as Ace fans know, he's terrible, terrible. Couldn't throw the ball over the plate. When he did, that's out of here. So they feel a lot better about it today. This potentially good news for the Giants, maybe. Bob Nightingale on Twitter, the Twins are getting, he tweets, Twins are getting bombarded with interest for ace Jose Berríos with, well, I don't know if the Scherzer deal affects this, but he says the Padres among those being quite aggressive. The Padres may not be done. The Giants perhaps are in on Jose Berríos.
And they should be if this is the way it goes with Scherzer, and now you're left with you and Los Angeles among the contending NL West teams, both looking for a starter. And JD made a great point earlier in the show about Di Sclafani and the Dodgers. It's a bad matchup, and you're gonna have to get through either the Padres or the Dodgers, maybe both, if you fall down to that wild card spot. And right now, if you were to go up against, let's say it's, you know, Padres, Giants, wild card, well, Scherzer versus whoever you want to throw, you're the underdog. And if it's Dodgers, Giants in the wild card and the Padres win the West, and it's, you know, Walker Buehler against whoever you want to throw, you're the underdog there too. And it doesn't mean that, you know, if you're in the wild card, you're automatically going to lose. But if you get into a short series, even with either one of those teams, it feels like right now, JD, you'd probably have the third best rotation of the three in the West.
Yeah, and the Giants, to that point, have never beaten Walker Buehler. The Dodgers needed that win last night, and they were able to get it. The Giants have to do something. I think that the Di Sclafani performance was the last straw as far as needing to add in that rotation, because, again, the reward for winning the NL West, Whitey and Dibs, is you're going to get to face either the Dodgers or the Padres in the division series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, Dibs, you talk a lot about the importance of confidence, and it was really fascinating last night, just the body language. Bueller, to JD's point, he pitches like he knows these guys can't beat me. I mean, that's the way that's the attitude he brings out there. And Di Sclafani, to me, it was probably more than just the Dodgers. I don't know if he didn't feel right. He didn't have his good stuff. You could almost see between pitches that he was like, I don't want to throw this.
Yeah, they were looking good, and the Dodgers mm-hmm. got to him early, and they stretched him out, and they put him in the stretch. And you're right, Whitey. Some nights, pitchers just don't have that same comfortability. And when you have a mm-hmm. lineup like the Dodgers where there isn't a lot of an escape top to bottom, even with the injuries they've had, they still turn the lineup over pretty effectively, and that makes it so if you're not fully confident as a pitcher, you could have a rough outing.
Yeah. Before we get back to the draft, real quickly, JD, you've been watching baseball a long time. Wasn't there a time when, let's say, you're pitching, and Bellinger and Taylor especially, as hard as they swing, wasn't there a time when a pitcher would let those guys know, hey, you ain't swinging like that against me? Am I right? I mean, move their yes. feet, whatever. It's like, no, you're disrespecting me. The game's different now. I guess it's better. But there was a time when it was really risky to take a hack like that.
And I think there still is a time, depending upon who the pitcher is and maybe the age range of that pitcher and the way that he was brought up in the game, where that would still happen. You mentioned Bellinger. You mentioned Taylor. To me, Max Muncy was the prime example. I'm surprised still that Muncy hasn't gotten dusted. I know he got hit by a pitch last week, but I don't know that it was necessarily a dusting when you looked at the 10 home runs in 8 games mm-hmm. or whatever the heck it was. I mean, that for me would have been enough to spill a dude with the quickness.
Mm-hmm. JD, by the way, looks like he's going to be doing a victory dance here, Dibs, as we check out our lock of the day. Sitting on the lock of the day.
It's time for Guru's Lock of the Day.
Lock
the lady tonight.
It's JD's Lock of the Day, and it's brought to you by BetQL. Looking for sports betting
what
content?
What do you got?
I'll tell you what I got, Dibs. We got the BetQL Network. It's now available on all of our devices and at BetQLnetwork.com. This is wagertainment with content that keeps both casual and hardcore bettors engaged. Get sports betting tips from the biggest names in the industry. The BetQL Network is streaming now on Odyssey.
Swallow.
I will not.
Choo, go choo, ahead, choo. Cap.
Kyle deserves to be on shaky ground.
Oh, boy. Okay, here we go. JD last
what
night.
What did I tell you, Cap?
Okay, Cartman. We needed
three,
a get-right game. 3-2-1. We needed a get-right game. And so did the Dodgers, so JD rocked with the Dodgers in his first ever lock of the day.
1-0 pitch, swung on and hammered down the right field line. It is deep, it is gone, a home run, Bellinger. Boy, Cody Bellinger smacked it. He just missed getting the distance to put it in McCovey Cove, but he hits his fifth home run of the year. The Dodgers lead it 8-0.
So JD wins it. JD wins it going away, and JD, now you talk, because I stuck gum in my mouth right before doing this.
Yeah, nice, clean, get-right game for the show. Did it for the betterment of the show with Walker Bueller over the Giants last night. Today, we're going to keep it simple again today. We're going to go money line, and we're going to go money line.
Where is the pick?
Oh, yep. You're right. Up, the pick is in.
Oh, good yesterday too.
Choke artist.
It was all the. I'm gonna blame Kyle. It was all the stops and starts. I'm ready. Let's go. I got my notes. I'm like,
do
God,
it.
Give it to me. Get to me. And then it's like, when are we doing this thing? And then by the
Kyle
time,
Kyle deserves to be on shaky ground.
JD, talk. Okay, let me get the pick in, because we're spending 8 minutes on this bit instead of the usual 4.
Woo! Well, the pick is in, JD, and now thankfully we can get the revelation sensation that we need, because you're hot right now, kid.
All right, I'm going Tigers Money line, minus 140. That's right. The Detroit Tigers, one of the hotter teams in baseball, with Casey Mize. Casey Mize on the mound.
Mile Mize.
That's been a smart play this year. Was reading earlier today, if you were put 100 on every one of Casey Mize's starts this season, you'd be right at about $1,000 in profit. So I'm riding with Casey Mize and the Tigers at home, money line minus 40 over the Baltimore Orioles.
It's a great pick. Johnny's great nephew, twice removed, actually.
Well done.
Yeah,
let me just say this about the Tigers. Good luck, JD, and thanks for what you did for the show yesterday. You know, Dibs and I together again, and some people on the text line, you know, remember the show that we used to be on, and you occasionally we get a comment about Mark Kreidler. Mark Kreidler's son, Ryan Kreidler, is a shortstop in the Tigers organization for the Lake Erie Seawolves, and he just hit a 3-run homer yesterday, and he's on his way. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that have to go your way. Looks like he's on his way eventually to the big club. He's a shortstop. He's a great defensive player. So people say, oh, it's a Whitey and Dibs and Kreidler. Yeah, Ryan Kreidler. Keep an eye on Ryan Kreidler, shortstop for the Double-A Lake Erie Seawolves, Dibs.
And he strikes out a lot less frequently than Kreidler used to against me and Jock Pretty. And for you Jock Pretty fans, it's back. It's back Thursday next week, 12:48, with everybody's favorite goo trying to avoid, we call it the Kreidler sombrero when you lose, not the golden sombrero, when you lose four straight to old Dibber Claws, you get the Kreidler sombrero. So all the best to Ryan and all the various Kreidlers.
The first day of any season, especially baseball season.
Steiny.
Goo! Yeah, Steiny!
Oh.
It just doesn't get old. It does not get old.
Yeah. Time for Guru's moment of the day as we turn our attention back to the NBA draft. Tell me, Dibs, if any of these picks that the Warriors made, and all teams have done this, if any of these picks warrant that type of reaction.
Okay.
Take you back to 2010. Now, the Warriors had the 6th pick in the draft in 2010. The 10th pick was Paul George. With the 6th pick, the Warriors took Ekpe Udo.
Oh. Yeah, and it's Ekpe Udo. It was a nice idea, a guy without a ton of offensive ability, and turns out wasn't really a great rebounder either. And defensively, he was pretty good, but a guy who never really had much of a chance to get anything going. His career was over before it started.
1983 NBA draft, with the 6th pick, the Warriors took Russell Cross. When the 14th pick was Clyde Drexler.
Oh.
Sailing takes me away. Oh, no, that's Russell Cross. I thought it was Christopher Cross. They would have been better off taking Christopher Cross, quite frankly.
Obviously, if Clyde Drexler lasted till 14, the Warriors weren't the only team that missed there. 1997 NBA draft, and let's hope nothing like this happens tonight. I'm sure it won't. The 9th pick in the draft was Tracy McGrady. The Warriors had the 8th pick, and instead of picking Tracy McGrady, they went Adonnell Foyle.
Colgate. Oh, we love Adonnell. He's friend of the program.
Of course.
Great guy. And one of the great laughs this side of Nick Friedel. Mm-hmm. If you can ever get Adonnell Foyle to laugh. I've done a few shows with him, JD. It's a big breath followed by a he'll give you like 5 or 6 big ones right after the big breath.
Mm-hmm. It is tremendous. We've had Adonnell in the old Warriors This Week days with Steiny a couple of years back when he was still a part of that show. And, yeah, it was there were probably 3 or 4 of those over the course of the 4 hours.
Sure.
I mean, so, Steiny, there had to be 3 or 4 a minute. That guy is just he's a rib tickler.
Yeah, so it happens. Mm-hmm. It happens to all teams in all sports, in all drafts. Let's hope something like that doesn't happen to the Warriors tonight. But as we get ready for the draft, 888-957-9570, you want to share with us what you're hoping the Warriors do, what you're hoping against hope the Warriors do. Why are we in this situation, JD and Dibs? Why is it that the Warriors, with 2 picks, when we know that the veteran core went to Bob Myers and said, look, we want you to trade these picks, right? That's what we want you to do, bring in some veteran help. And maybe they're still trying to do that. To this point, they haven't. So why are we still where we were? Why do the Warriors still have these 2 picks? Why haven't they traded them for some veteran help?
Well, there's the reason they have it is because the deal hasn't been there to be had at this point. I think deadlines spur action, and there just hasn't been enough action to this point. I think part of it is the Warriors probably focused on the big move, and they're at this point unwilling to make the big move because the big move would not just be 7-14, but it would be 7-14 and Andrew Wiggins, who they love, and James Wiseman. I think they're trying to get as much as they possibly can at this point without having to give up the extras involved there. And I still think they are scouring the league for other players, Dibs, that may come available that aren't of the ilk of Bradley Beal or Damian Lillard, but still could have the potential to help.
And you're right about the deadlines spurring action. And as we get closer to not only the first pick tonight, but the Warriors being on the clock, then you'll get a stronger sense of other teams and their motivation and their need to make a deal. And I still think that it's Kuminga, when he's on the board at 7, potentially, that might spur teams that are, you know, coming up behind Golden State to move up. If you're a team looking for more of a rebuild than a win-now mode, you might look at a project or a player with upside at 7 who you can get.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So I think they might be aggressive in that manner. I'd be shocked if the Warriors made a big trade involving an established star player, a former all-star or a current all-star. That would shock me more than if they just, you know, kind of moved around the draft, maybe moved back from 7 or moved up. You know, that to me is more likely than a big deal involving a big name.
Yeah, it doesn't appear that that player's there, Dibs, and I agree with you guys. I think they're going to be, and they are right now, working the phones. I know Bob Myers is supposed to be on with Damon Radokolsky at 3 o'clock today. He's probably going to have to say, I'm working. I'm sorry, guys. You're going to have to do without me. But he's supposed to be on with Damon Radokolsky at 3 o'clock today. So as Wes Goldberg told us, this could go right down to the wire, right up to the pick. And maybe, yeah, if you get to the point where Bob Myers can't pull the trigger on bringing in a veteran who can help, maybe then they do trade back. But one of the biggest reasons why they haven't been able to make that deal is because, according to reports, JD, the 7 and the 14 have not really generated a ton of interest around the league, even though you know, this is a deep draft. You got a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of big names who are available. And hey, you want 7 and 14. To this point, there's just not a lot of interest in those picks.
I understand why there maybe wouldn't be, and I think it goes back to a theme of the week, which is the fact that a lot of players that would be on the board at 7, and we've run through the names over and over, a lot of those players feel like they are a little bit of a stretch for that position. Like players at 7, again, that you'd love to get at 14, but do you really want to take them at 7? Booknight, to me, is the only player among this group, and I wouldn't even put Wagner in there, even though it sounds like Wagner's, you know, vaulting himself up the charts. But I look at whether it's Moody, whether it's Mitchell, whether it's Giddy or Duarte. Like a lot of these names are players you'd love to have at 14, but at 7, you don't totally feel comfortable. And I think if the Warriors are feeling that way, I think other teams across the league are feeling that way until, as Dibs mentions, maybe a Kuminga is available. That's when I think the phones start ringing off the hook.
For a juicy chunk of Warrior draft day news, here's our own Kyle Madsen. Kyle, what do you got?
Yeah, Sixers beat writer for the Philly Inquirer, Keith Pompey, said that the Sixers actually had some interest in 7 and 14, along with Andrew Wiggins, James Wiseman, and two future firsts. That's what they wanted from the Warriors in exchange for Ben Simmons, and the Warriors said no.
Hit the pike.
Wow.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, that's, wow. Man, that's too rich. I mean, it's obviously too rich for the Warriors' blood, especially when, you know, it's one thing if you're getting Bradley Beal. He is a complete project. I mean, he's done. You know what he's going to be. Ben Simmons, you got issues there. He has he's to broken. Learn how to shoot. Yeah, he's mm-hmm. he's not totally broken. There's a little bit of a crack, maybe a couple of fractures. You know, he's not Humpty Dumpty where, oh my God, this thing's in 1,000 pieces. Get the glue, Jim. We got work to do. But, oh yeah, it's Steiny's theme song when he's on the fence. But I think if you're going to have to give up two picks, two players, and a future pick, all for a guy who is a little bit broken, that is too rich for my blood, JD.
Yeah, I have been in the camp of I would strongly consider 7 and 14 and Wiseman with Wiggins for salary purposes if you're going to bring back Ben Simmons. I think that as a value does make sense, but two more first round picks.
Yeah.
Get out of here with that. Like that no freaking way that would be happening. And again, to me, it's more about the fit with the, like, does Simmons fit? Can you play him with Draymond? Those are my concerns more than maybe the compensation. But you start talking about basically three first round picks and then two more in the future. Nah, mm-hmm. that ain't happening.
Yeah. That's a few more details on something. We knew that. It had been reported that Philly wanted too much, so I don't think this is necessarily something that just happened today. But that is absolutely stunning. And as you said, JD, there were already concerns before Simmons' jump shot went away and he lost his confidence completely. There were already issues about the redundancy there between Simmons and Draymond. So, yeah, that is definitely – that's a new goo. But as to why teams are reluctant to take 7 and 14, the Warriors, and we touched on this earlier, what the Warriors are trying to do, it's really tricky because we think we know the Warriors want to find at least one rookie, maybe two, that they can plug in next year. And this is difficult. Listen to this. Last year, only a single rookie last season performed at a level commensurate with high rotation or better while receiving at least 2,000 minutes in 2020-2021. That's according to The Athletic. Last season, only one rookie performed at a level commensurate with a high rotation or better. And that was Emmanuel Quickly. He's the only one. It's really rare for young players because there's so much to learn and there are so many issues defensively. It's really difficult for a rookie to step in on a good team and be a contributing rotational player.
And I think the 2,000-minute bar might be a bit too high, especially last year where you only had 72 games. So you're talking 72 games. That's basically 28 minutes a night. That's a legitimate rotational player. And I think for this Warrior team, you don't really need a guy to come in and get you 28 minutes a night, JD. For me, it feels more like whoever they pick at 7 and or 14, if you can get, again, that 1,500-minute mark, which is basically 20 minutes a night over the course of 82, that'd be 1,640 minutes, but you get my point about the, you know, the impact of what you're looking for. You're going to have Steph and Draymond and Wiggins. Those three are going to play 35 minutes a night, which is 105 minutes. So now you only need, you know, another 135 minutes from the remaining five guys to get you the 240 on an average NBA game. So it's a lot of math to say you don't necessarily need a guy to come in and play that much, but you do need somebody who can impact you for 20 minutes a night.
Yeah, the 20 to 24 minutes, I think, is right on 20 as a minimum. I think, you know, one of the players you could even say, can they give you a shift in each half? Like, I think one of them 20-ish. I think the other player could even be just a good solid 12. Can you do 6 minutes in each half at that point and provide a skill in conjunction with the other players? I think the other part of it, though, too, when you start to average the minutes out, Dibs, is, you know, is this player playable in case of injury? And that's something we haven't talked a lot about. Like, the Warriors have to cover themselves in terms of what happens if Steph has to miss 2 weeks, and what happens if Klay isn't ready for the first month of the year and isn't himself for another couple of months. You guys have both mentioned depth. It's spot on. But can these rookies be trusted to play at least one of them in the 28 to 30 minute a night range should there be injuries, and you don't go from maybe a 6 seed in the West, which is what the Warriors were when Steph Curry played last year, to the worst freaking team in the NBA, which is what they were when Stephen Curry was not on the court for any reason.
By the way, just to clarify, when I said Emmanuel Quickly, the only rookie in the league who performed at a level commensurate with high rotation, that's according to estimated plus minus. But the point is, it's really rare. Very few rookies are ready to make significant positive contributions at an NBA level, especially on a good team. And that's what the Warriors are looking at doing this year. And that, of course, gets back to why Steph and Klay and Draymond, according to reports, went to the front office and said, we don't want to do that. So here we are. Bob Myers supposedly still trying to find some veteran help, but it looks more and more like they're going to make the picks. So it would make sense, right, that you're going to draft guys with identifiable skills that are going to be, well, the players that will be more likely to be able to help you next year. So, and then, of course, beyond. So where are we? Are we ready to make our actual lock it in predictions as to what the Warriors are going to do with the 7th and the 14th pick, assuming that they keep them today?
I think we're ready to lock it in. I mean, normally we put it in the cap, but no sense in a time capsule that it's only 3 hours old. It would be, by the time the dirt got patted down, we'd be unearthing that bad boy. So, JD, I'll let you go first and make your selection at number 7. The Golden State Warriors will be on the clock, and you're a man with such a deep, astute knowledge of the association that I'm excited to hear who you'll take with the Warriors at number 7.
Quick point of clarification before the pick
boo,
is in.
Boo!
Is this? I love it. I knew I was going to get it, and I just wore it all over my face.
These are predictions, not what you would do. You're making a prediction.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. The pick is, in fact, in then at number 7.
It's a predicament.
With the 7th pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Golden State Warriors select Franz Wagner from Michigan. That's it. Call me a prisoner of the moment. Call me buying into the rumors and innuendo, Dibs. Wouldn't be my pick. Clarified it.
Oh, no.
But I think
no.
That's where it's heading.
No, that's fine. It's predictions. It's not preference. And if, you know, we want to do a preference draft coming up, we can do that. But Spadoni, that's awesome. if you wanna actually find out the correct answer, the actual pick is actually in. With the 7th pick in the 2021 NBA draft, the Golden State Warriors select Jonathan Kuminga at Thank you. At which point they will promptly trade said Kuminga to a team to be named later.
How about your 14th pick?
Oh, no, we'll go to your 7th first, Whitey.
Okay.
There's got to be with order. I demand with order.
With the 7th pick
hold
in
on.
The 2021.
Wait for the chime. Woo!
NBA draft. The pick is in. The Golden State Warriors select Davion Mitchell.
Whoa, that feels God. Like a reach at 7.
Bayless. I'm convinced of that because of what Ryan McDonough said today. He said Steve Kerr loves him, and I think they take Book Night, but I don't know that he's going to be there. I think Steve Kerr really wants Davion Mitchell. I'm sure hoping JD is right. I'll be dancing. I'll be doing the Franz Wagner dance if they pick Franz Wagner.
Sprockets.
I'm going Davion Mitchell with
nice.
Touch my monkey. Davion Mitchell with the 7th pick, Dibs.
I love it. I love it. And all of this is fortunately being recorded. And you can, of course, find it at the Odyssey app and at odyssey.com. But Spadone, let's keep it rolling. Let's talk about number 14 because we all have different players at 7. But do we have different players at 14? Here is John Pickenson. You see,
kick in, son.
Thank you. Thank you. Nothing like killing a joke with your own overlap. But here is John Pickenson with a selection. Boo!
The 14th pick in the 2021 NBA draft, the Golden State Warriors select Davion Mitchell from Baylor. That's right. A stretch at 7, but perfect value at 14. I think the Warriors go with Mitchell to complement Wagner at number 7, Dibs.
Yeah, wow. It feels like a mistake to take him at 7 and 14. I wonder if Bob Myers can survive that, picking the same guy twice.
That happens.
In two different spots. I like the Davion Mitchell pick, but in order to keep the bit fresh and lively, I'll simply say the pick is in. Boo! I'll handle it. With the 14th pick in the 2021 NBA draft, the Golden State Warriors select Chris Duarte from the University of Oregon. He's an OG. He's played a ton, and I think his sort of fit, high IQ, good defender, elite shooter, and another Oregon Duck. This team seems to love them. Some Pac-12 players. Chris Duarte goes 14 to the Warriors in my world, Whitey.
Mm-hmm. And guess what? My pick is also in at 14.
Boo!
You can't boo it. I'm picking the same guy you are with a 14th pick. You can't move my pick if you just made it. The Warriors select Chris Duarte, forward, University of Oregon. Yeah, I'm with you, Dibs. He makes too much sense.
Yeah, just kind of that ready-made player. And that's why, I mean, if it's Davion Mitchell at 7 and Duarte at 14, I'd feel pretty good about that combo, even though it does feel like Mitchell. I mean, I guess the idea of, he's a reach at 7, what they'll tell you is if he's a good player, it doesn't matter where you take him. But then it comes down to if there are better players taken immediately after him, guys who turn out to be better.
I find myself agreeing with something you said, Gutter Trash in PDX's The Original Wagner was only a Wagner. And
the
I know you get variations of that.
The original Spider-Man was only a Spider-Man.
You get variations of that all day long, and I love them. I love every one of them. But you said yesterday, the day before, Dibs, you said, this talk about the Warriors and Kuminga, it's disinformation. They don't really want him. And I think you're right. I think with his stock falling, JD, and again, given the fact that the way he plays, at least right now, it's not really a fit, I think the Warriors would love for everyone to think they want him, but I don't think they really want him.
Yeah, come up and get him. Like, we'll take him. We're interested. We'll do it. You don't think we will, but we will. But give us a call and give us your best offer, because the reality is that they want to move off of him and at that point use what could be max value. I think if Kuminga's available at number 7, the value for the Warriors to make a trade would be as high as anyone could possibly imagine it would have been. I don't think anybody thought Kuminga would be on the board at that point, really, up until the last few days.
Can I throw out a scenario for you guys? Kuminga, thank you.
Go ahead, Cap.
Kuminga available at 7. The Grizzlies trade up from 10 to 7 to draft Kuminga, a guy that they can kind of afford to bring along a little slower than the Warriors can. The Warriors move back to 10, and that's where they draft Whitey's guy, Franz Wagner.
He won't be there at 10. No, seriously. No, he will not be there at 10 because the Sacramento Kings will grab him at 9 if he's there. Yeah. Whether they should or not, say what you will, but he ain't going to be there at 10, Dibs.
No, you're right, and you know you look at all the various mocks, and a ton of Wagner going at night. What about your guy Josh Giddey, Whitey, the 6'8" point guard who's a bit of a project still, and his shot is in some question. But in Kyle's cockamamie scenario, and Kyle deserves to be on shaky ground. If they if they trade back to 10, would Josh Giddey then be a player that you'd look to get in a trade back scenario?
If I'm the Warriors, I know Memphis supposedly likes him. I don't know. I haven't seen him. Let me just be honest. I haven't seen him at all. So, you know, it's tough to say on Josh Giddey. But JD, to me, I'm just, especially the way the Warriors play, a guy that right now, maybe he can, but he can't shoot. Okay? He cannot. And he's 18 years old. To me, if I'm the Warriors, like, that's a no and a big no. We wish you the best. But no, we're not bringing an 18-year-old guy who can't shoot, as talented as he may be, when it comes to distributing the basketball.
Yeah, he's too young. The basketball IQ is there, but it feels like he'd be the kind of guy that if he did find his way on the floor, he'd be playing hot potato with the basketball in a similar way to maybe Draymond Green. And I think the Warriors can't afford to be, you know, having 2 and 3 non-scoring threats on the floor at the same time. That ultimately, Dibs, is among the many things that did them in over the course of this past season.
Especially until Klay gets back, because right now you've got Wiggins who can score the basketball. Steph Curry, of course, one of the greatest ever to do it. But other than that, you know, Jordan Poole notwithstanding, you don't have a ton of just offensive firepower until Klay gets healthy.
So how good can the Warriors be next year if all they're able to do today is draft a couple of rookies? Obviously, as we've said, it hinges also on who they're able to get free agency-wise. But can they become a top-four team in the West without trading either of the picks for a veteran? If they got to pick two rookies, are the Warriors in position now, if they handle the rest of their business in the offseason, to vault back into the top four? I think it's going to be very tricky because, as I said, as we know, it's so tough to get a lot out of rookies in their in their first year. That's why they're rookies. You really got to thread the needle. There is some talent there. I think it's really going to hinge on what else they're able to do, and I still think they're going to be trying to trade those picks right up to the time they got to make one of them.
Yeah, and to me, they could be in the 5-6 range, but it would, you get into the top four by virtue of what you do next week, not what you do tonight. Tonight could be a foundation to maybe 6 with Klay coming back, but if you want to get into the top four, it's about the players that aren't currently on the roster that they'll get over the next week.
One of these two that you take tonight, assuming you don't trade them, one of the two has to be in your top 8 come January 1, because I look at this team January 1st, 2022. At that point, what do you got? You know, how healthy is Klay? You'll know how close he is. Where's Wiseman? Which one of these two picks is an impact guy? Did Jordan Poole get better? Is Pascal the rookie Pascal or the sophomore Pascal? I think come January, you'll know a lot better where we are.
Pascal is a really interesting case, Dibs, and I don't think it's a matter of whether he fell off or not. He just, you know, on that 15-win team, it's like, wow, there's a guy who takes the ball to the basket. On a better team, his flaws were more evident. I don't know if that it was a matter of him declining so much as just as the Warriors got better and he, you know, bumped up against that ceiling. I just don't think he's a fit for him. I don't think it's a matter of him finding his game so much as his game, again, not fitting with the way the Warriors play. JD, I know you were the one who said, you know, the first one that I know of who said you can't have Pascal and Draymond on the floor at the same time. He's just not as talented as he is, as good as he was in that 15-win year. I just don't think he quite fits with the way the Warriors do things.
No, not at all. And he's somebody that I think is probably going to wind up on another roster as part of bigger or other moves. Not that the Warriors don't like him. They love his
right.
attitude, his work
yeah.
ethic, and all of
yeah.
that. But as this team has formed into what they want to become and what they need to be to function, he could have played minutes because they needed bodies at the end
yeah.
of last year had he been healthy. But he is not the ultimate fit. Almost has to be a five if he's going to play at all. And we've already seen the Warriors need another more true five to go with Looney and to go with Wiseman, who's the project at that position.
Dibs, what pick could the Warriors make at seven that you would honestly celebrate and feel, yes, yes, they pulled it off. That's going to be awesome.
Like Jalen Suggs. I mean, outside of anything ridiculous, I mean, if Suggs somehow fell to seven, which I can't see it,
right.
but of the available guys who are likely to be there at seven, I mean, really, you don't know who's going to be the best, but I'll stick with the guy that I predicted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a big, I don't know if you guys remember, I'm a big Franz Wagner guy.
Yeah,
I hope he's a pick. JD, which pick can they make at seven that would make you feel like, yep, they nailed it?
Yeah, I think when you look at it, I think for me it would be Moses Moody. To me it would be that's somebody that we haven't mentioned who I really like. Mitchell feels like a stretch. To me it's about the combination of the two picks more than just one. There isn't anybody at seven, honestly, aside from somebody that slips. Suggs, Kuminga, you can trade. To me it's about both of them.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky are live from Chase. They're going to talk to Larry Harris at 2:30 with Bob Myers coming up at 3 as draft day continues with Damon Ratto and Kolsky from Chase next on 95.7 The Game.
Bring Damon Ratto and Kolsky live from Chase Center on the home of the Warriors. 95.7 The Game.
I know. The light changes and you're a little slow on the get up and go. Extra Man here. Let's recharge and treat you right at Extra Mile. How about a little boost? Like a Monster energy drink, a hot dog, Lay's potato chips, and an Extra Mile extra good chocolate bar. Think of it as a snack that's got your back. Here you can grab, go, and repeat.
Extra Mile convenience stores. Treat you right at select Chevron and Texaco locations.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-568-2790. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-568-2790. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-568-2790.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.